Hello, everyone. I'm Amelia. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Hello, everyone. Well, first, thank you so much, not to crosstalk, but thank you so much, Charlie, for your wonderful share. It's going to be hard to top that, but I'm probably not going to. But also, I don't really need to because we're all here to share our own experience, strength, and hope, especially considering my Al-Anon birthday. I guess you could say is only 1 year, so I'm pretty much a baby in terms of Al-Anon recovery. And I don't, as you can see, I don't really have any notes. I don't have a notebook. Kind of just going off vibes right now, which is a very, I guess, age-appropriate thing to do. I'm 22. I wish one of the strange things that I was worried about is being 22 and coming to speak is that everyone would think I would be out of Alateen, so I would have like way more recovery. I went to about two Alateen meetings in my teenage years. I hated them both because I was a teenager, so I only have about 1 year of recovery. But another thing that occurred to me while I was thinking about this is that recovery isn't linear, which sucks. Because I wish I could say, oh, I've been here for 1 year. I should have this done. I should have that done. It should all be in a straight line, but it's really not linear. One wonderful thing we say at the end of our District 14 Discovery Bay meeting is keep coming back. It works if you work it, so work it because you're worth it. And the key point of that is, besides the whole thing, is the key point, it works if you work it. And I will admit, for this past year, I did not work it as well as I wanted to. But I feel like that's everyone's choice. Everyone looks at, even artists look at their masterpiece and they're like, oh, I could have done better. But one of the like topics I know that we had discussed about was survival to recovery. Which I think, it's a really hard book for me to read, I'll be honest. It was gifted to me actually by Charlie, and I read it at the hospital. Not my hospital stay, I'll get into that later. But I read it and I like immediately closed it because it was so much. And so let's roll back a little bit about me. My name is Amelia and or Amelia. It really doesn't affect me that much how people say it. Just know that I think it's a pretty name either way, so suits me both. I am 22 years old. I'm the second oldest of five children. Perks of being Mexican, so that's fun. But I am the oldest girl, and unlike many oldest girls, I didn't get the sort of second mom role. I think I was just too mentally ill to have to take on that role. I definitely was a caretaker, but I don't resent my mother the way many oldest daughters do, which I guess I'm grateful for because I didn't have to take on all that responsibility because I think my first hospitalization, I was 12 years old. And that really, and basically my entire high school career was keeping me out of the hospital again. But let's back up even a bit more. My qualifier, I guess you could say, I have many qualifiers in my life, but the main one would be my father. He is an alcoholic, thankfully in recovery, been sober about 16 years, I would say. He got sober when my baby brother was born, or a little bit after that. And so 16, if you do the math, 22 minus 16 is young. 22 minus 20 minus 16 is 4 plus 6. Thank you. I did not go to school for math. I'm a theater major, actually. No, I'm not. I'm going to be a teacher. But so I was 6 years old, around six. But I do remember the only time I really remember my father being drunk is he was having this argument with my paternal grandmother, so his mom, my abuela. And I remember he had this bottle of champagne. And I remember that bottle of champagne because I remember him showing it off actually to like our family. My parents were in this huge business and it was very expensive champagne, very expensive. So like, don't touch it. You're just a little kid. You'll do something to it by even looking at it. So I knew that bottle of champagne was very expensive. And I remember him arguing with my grandmother and breaking it on the counter, or no, not on the counter, on the ground. And I remember being like happening it right there, and I was on the stairs and I was so scared. And I think that stemmed a lot from, or like that caused my anger towards my father in my teenage years that I've noticed. Because throughout my teenage years, I was very angry, as most teenagers are, but there was something special about my anger towards my father, especially during my teenage years, is I was just so angry at him, and I never could figure out why. But as coming to Al-Anon, being in Al-Anon, we learn, anger is a secondary emotion. What's the first emotion that comes up first? And it's usually fear. And now that I just had like this little mini epiphany the other day, like I was scared of my dad. And that's why, even if he went to a meeting every night, even if he wasn't drinking, excuse me, I was scared of my father. And I was, another thing that usually happens when you're the daughter of someone from Mexico is that you learn Spanish. And growing up, I didn't really speak Spanish. And I learned this being in the hospital, is that, whenever I heard Spanish in my home, it was my father yelling at my mother, or it was my father yelling at somebody else. It was a language of violence, honestly. And that really kept me from learning it for the longest time. And so I really resented my parents because of that too, because they had this Weta daughter and they didn't teach her Spanish. And so of course I was the object of ridicule. But I'd also didn't speak Spanish, so I didn't even know what they were saying about me, but I knew it was something bad. But a lot of my, I'm 22, so I've fresh out of being a teenager, but I always say this, I'll be a teenage girl until I'm 26. Because I just love being silly. But what really happened, like, so most of my trauma that I've experienced has been through my teenage years. So I'm going to be mentioning that a lot. But a lot of what happened was I didn't get attention, or the attention that I wanted from my father. I was angry at him. I hated him. I was mad at him. I was scared of him. And so I sought male attention in other ways. And that did not help with the self-esteem issues of already being a bigger, more voluptuous teenager. And eventually, I was assaulted. And that put a big hindrance on my relationship with my higher power, too, which was something that's, I believe, is essential when you are in recovery. And so even now, I had the faith background. I knew like textbook stuff from my faith. But I didn't have the relationship with God, with my higher power, because I was just so angry. And I remember being in one of the meetings, that happened when I was 16, but here I was in the meeting at 21, crying about it, like, God? This higher power that you speak of loves me, or this higher power has a plan for me. Like, where was that higher power in that bathroom, And, it's an answer I still don't have. And I think because of traumas that I've been through, I like to sort of use that as an excuse to not work on my recovery. And I think many of us do that, but I'll speak mostly for myself, is like, well, this happened to me, so I'm not gonna rely on this higher power that you tell me I need to rely on. So coming to the program, steps one through three for me, were not really that much of a breeze. They're still pretty hard in everyday life to acknowledge my higher power. But let's try and get some more organization here. So let me just do a little thing in my head. So that's before the program. What led me that to go to this Al-Anon program because I originally didn't want to go because, I was like, my dad's sober. I don't need this. I'm not living with an active alcoholic. I don't need to go. Someone had asked me, like, well, you're going to be speaking. What brought you to Al-Anon? And I'm just like, what did bring me to Al-Anon? And I think a lot of women, men in general, men too, that have partners that have alcoholic behavior, we try to control. And really, what brought me to Al-Anon was the fact that I could not control another person. I could not, we can't, the three C's that we're taught, we can't cure it, we know we didn't cause it, we can't control it, and we can't cure it. And at the end of the day, that's really what brought me to Al-Anon, was the fact that I was in this relationship and I could not control this other person. And but I, at the same time, I thought I was in control. I thought that if I did this, if I said that, then a chain, like a reaction that I wanted to happen would happen. What I usually reference a lot is the fact that I'm the main character of my life. And I would sort of use that as an excuse, like, oh, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm the main character in a selfish way. But what I realized is I wasn't acting like the main character. I was acting like the director. And if any of you have read the Big Book, we're, even in Al-Anon, we're encouraged to go to open AA meetings. But I had heard from the Big Book that page 35 question mark. We act as the director. We try to arrange the lights, arrange the actors, the scenes, stuff like that. And that'll drive you crazy. And it did drive me crazy. So crazy that I wound up in my second hospitalization at age 20, 21. Yeah. A reverse of 12, which I find very, very weird. Because for 9 years, I was okay-ish. I was doing well, in terms of not being hospitalized. I was in therapy, taking my meds. And then I just stopped and I just tried to control this other person. I went against my values. I went against the core beliefs of who I was. And really, I think the turning point for me, the breaking down, was when I was outside in an abortion clinic, September 15th. And, they had said to me, my partner, they were like, you're gonna get one, an abortion, because if you don't, I'll hate you for the rest of my miserable life. And I just took that and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. Spoiler alert, it turns out I wasn't pregnant. So wasn't in a position where I needed to think of even getting one of those. But my higher power was definitely with me that day in that clinic, because I remember being in there, being in the back, because they don't let your partner be in the back with you anymore for safety reasons. I was in the back, and for the first time in a long time, I had started praying. And I was like, God, please don't punish me for this. Please don't punish me for this. And then the lady comes in and she says, oh, test is negative. You can go. You can leave. And I just felt like this weight off of me, like, but I also carried a big weight with me. One of our readings in, I believe, the Hope for Today, because pre-Al-Anon to now, within my relationship, I gained about 70 pounds. And but really, that's a physical weight. But really, when you think about the weight we carry as people in Al-Anon, the weight on our souls is immeasurable, honestly. We have this one reading, and I forget what page it is, but it talks about like a gunny sack in Hope for Today and how we go, we're in this beautiful forest, and we're not even looking at the trees. Because we just pick up rocks, a rock named resentment, a rock named loneliness, and we put it in our gunny sack. And which I think is like a backpack, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's really what I did when I came to Al-Anon, is I just walked through the doors, and everyone, a lot of people in Al-Anon, when you walk there, they look happy. So that's already like throwing you off when you first walk in there. Like, am I in the right place? Like, why do y'all look happy? I am going through like the worst thing in my life right now. But a lot of it, I don't want to say it's self-inflicted, but a lot of it, the way that we react is a choice. And that's something I've learned in Al-Anon. Another thing that I've learned about that is that I hate that. I hate that it's a choice. Like, what do you mean I'm choosing to react this way? What do you think? What do you mean I'm choosing to take offense? I hated, especially when I first came here, they were like, don't take things, we shouldn't take things personally. Like, what do you mean not take things personally? Like, in what other way am I supposed to take this personal, what I deem as a personal attack? I had a joke like, what am I supposed to take it professionally? Like, no, I'm gonna take it personally because this is a personal attack against me in every fiber of my being. This person, the fact that they looked at me the wrong way means they hate me and they want to fight me or something. That's how grand of a reaction I would have to things. When really, through this program and through these meetings and even going to open AA meetings, you really get to see the fact that the alcoholic or the person with the alcoholic behavior or the qualifier is a broken person. My dad, my mom, as much anger as I had towards them and sometimes have towards them for the way they raised me, is that they did the best that they could. My dad, with all the trauma that he went through in Mexico, he did the best that he could. And that's something that I've really, really realized in this program and going to those meetings, is that my parents did the best that they could. Did they do the best? No. But they did the best that they could with the tools they were given at the time that they had. And I grant them that forgiveness. But I also know that I need to grant myself that same forgiveness. Like, I can't hate my teenage self for the actions and the decisions I made, because she was just a little girl and she did the best she could with the tools that she had. And it's tough because it's so much easier to just say, oh, that's a personal attack against me. They're in the wrong, and I've done nothing wrong ever in my entire life, which is obviously not the truth, or else I wouldn't be up here, But even now, with that relationship that I had, sucks to say had. It sucks. Past tense sucks. I hate grammar. But with that relationship that I had, I did the best I could with the tools I had. And I really did, that I started dating him when I was 19, up until, literally February 2nd is when we broke up. And so, what is it now? That's like 22 days ago. Yeah, that's crazy. But the flyers had already been printed out, and so I couldn't back down from this. Sorry. As much as I'd love to say that I was 100% prepared to be here, I really wasn't. But at the end of the day, this is a big meeting, and we're all here for recovery. And that's another thing that I really like about the term survival to recovery, is before Al-Anon, I wasn't really living. I was more surviving. I was just getting there day by day, going through the motions. And I know my higher power doesn't want that for me. And I know I don't want that for me. I don't want to just go through the motions of life. And now I'm so lucky that I get to say, I'm not just surviving anymore. I'm not even just like living. I'm living actively in recovery. I'm recovering. And that's a beautiful thing to say. It's a beautiful thing to acknowledge. The hard part is acknowledging it every day, because the reason that we have step 12, especially, practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm not on that step, but really with Al-Anon, you got to practice these principles in all your affairs, because it's like if you only eat once a week, you're not going to be fulfilled. So why only rely on that one meeting you go to once a week? The slogans are especially wonderful. I love slogans. I love the slogans. My favorite one that I use all the time that I need to use is like, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Because I'm just a little human that's not equipped to handle this stuff. I'm just a girl at the end of the day. I'm just a girl. And it makes me think, I've said this a couple times for those in Discovery Bay who are probably sick of hearing this, but I'm gonna say it again because these people are new. I'm just gonna go through life and I'm gonna let God fix it. Because if I fix it, I'm going to jail. Which is like funny, but so true if you think about it. Because if I do the things the way that I want them to be done, criminal charges will be pressed, and that's not okay. So I just let go and let God, let go and let God, because God's not going to be the one in the jail cell. It's going to be me. So now that I've gotten that, let go and let God. How important is it? That's a really big one for me too. How important is it that this person just cut me off? Not important. How important is it that this thing just happened? Before it would have been, oh, that is the most important thing that has ever happened in my entire life. It is a grave sin that they have just committed to cross me. And now I just think, how important is it? It's not that important. Am I going to remember it tomorrow? Maybe. Am I going to remember it next week? No, I'm probably going to be distracted with something else. It's not that big a deal. When before everything was the biggest deal at all moments of time, which was exhausting. It was exhausting, truly. Surviving is exhausting. And so that's why living in recovery is so much fun. I mean, it's not laughs and giggles all the time, though I wish it could be, because there are times where you really do need to take a look at yourself and reflect. Step four, taking a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves. Inventory, if you ever worked in retail, so it's not fun. I say that like I have some expertise. I interned at a Walgreens when I was 17, but still, inventory was not fun. And now Al-Anon really helps me in my day-to-day, because I work at a middle school, and those little guys will try to get under your skin and try to hurt you in the way that they know only they can. There's this one comedian that I like, and he says, if I'm walking down the street and I see a group of eighth graders walking towards me, I will cross to the other side of the street and go the other way. And that's truly what it feels like to be surrounded by middle schoolers, because they will make fun of you in an accurate way. And I just can't take it personally. They're like, Miss Amelia, your teeth are kind of weird. Have you ever considered getting braces? And I'm just there, like, you know what? I have. And I'm definitely gonna call my dentist now because I need them. You just go through it and you're just like, okay, now continue on your math homework. And you just have to go through it. God wants me to be so patient all the time. And I'm actually able to do that now. If I barely started working at the middle school when I came into Al-Anon. I'm sorry, it's just I have to think about it. It's just so much. And being here with the lights on me and the people in this room and then the fact that this is recorded, I feel like a pop star right now, first of all, because is it on the side or is it on the side? I don't know. But I just know that people are listening to me and I love it. I love it. I love being the center of attention at all times. And this time it's for a good thing. And I love that. Do we have a spiritual timekeeper or do I just keep going? Maybe like 5 more minutes? Okay, thank you. If you put me up here and you don't give me a time limit, I'll keep us all here for a good long while. But 5 more minutes, I can wrap it up in 5 minutes. Let me see if any of this will inspire me. Adult children. Oh, yeah. I don't really like the term adult child. And I'll say that because I don't like calling myself an adult. Nothing else against that. I just don't like the fact that I'm an adult because when you're an adult, you can't really blame your parents anymore. You can't really blame your parents for how they raised you because you're an adult now. And that's why I'm glad I was able to say that, I acknowledge that my parents did the best they could with the tools they had. They had 12 step. I basically, when I was hospitalized last year and I was hospitalized for 2 weeks, excuse me, and then I went to this residential facility. And they had like a little book room there. It's like they called it the library, but it wasn't a library. It was like a little room. And they had bookshelves. And I go in there and I'm looking and I'm looking. And of course, I'm judging all of the books based off of their cover because that is what I do. I'm seeing for which one seems most interesting. And I find a big book there. I find an Alcoholics Anonymous book. And I'm like, wow, my God, my higher power, whom I call God, is just showing off right now, which is also, it's just so annoying. But I stayed there and I read the big book. I read, talking about the 12 step, the doctor's opinion, stuff like that. And I said to the people, I'm like, it would be really cool if you guys had like some Al-Anon literature in here. And of course, they had no idea what I was talking about. So I just decided to keep reading the big book. And it gave me a lot of insight on the addict's mind. And because along with being in Al-Anon, I have the potential to be an addict myself. Which is why I'm really afraid of drinking because, my mom's an addict, my dad's an addict. I have the genetic makeup for it, so I pretty much stay away from it like the plague. But it also gives me, I guess, more insight, you could say. Because what Al-Anon has taught me is not everything's about me. It's crazy. Not everything's about me. I can't control other people. I'm not supposed to control other people. Let go and let God. Easy does it. I'm just going through all the slogans right now. But really, that's what Al-Anon has taught me. And there are times where I wish I could like handwrite the books. I mean, like take pages out of the books and like put them over my town and just like see this information, see this goal. Gold, see all of these wonderful, wonderful gifts that Al-Anon gives us. I wish I could share them with other people, specifically my coworkers. Did I mention I work at a middle school with preteens? And it's just, I'm such a better person with Al-Anon. Like, I'm already pretty amazing, but with Al-Anon, I'm just nice. And tolerable and tolerant, which I was never before. But I'm so glad I came up here. And I'm so glad maybe next time I speak, I won't quite freehand it. I won't freestyle it. I'll have something, ready, but I kind of like what I'm doing right now. I just want to thank everyone for coming here today. And I want to thank. I just want us to take a little moment right now. This is what I do when I leave my class. Just close our eyes and just be thankful that even if we're not where we want to be, we're not where we used to be. And I think that's pretty great. And let's all continue growing in Al-Anon. Thank you.